out Don and taking care of the boys and the house and the synagogue and the secretary left and all that. So anyway, I go into the cancer center, and I was nervous to get my blood checked because I've been under so much strain. I slipped at Lowe's and I tore my quadricep a week ago Wednesday, and I've been in physical therapy. I just started this week. My back's been out. It's just been crazy, just crazy. And website went down. I mean, absolutely crazy. I can't say it enough. And then people just, you know, getting upset with me over just all kinds of things, you know. Anyway, so I walk into the cancer center, and I was afraid to go. I didn't want to go get my blood checked because I was afraid of what it was going to see. My flesh said, you're not going to get a good report. But I was down that way near the hospital, and I had to go to get a physical therapy. So I went to physical therapy, and then I heard the Lord say, go get your blood checked. It's time. You're supposed to go get it checked every month. It's been 6 weeks. You've been skipping it. You know, you've been hiding. So I went to the cancer center, and this song started playing from Carol Roberson in my pocket. This song, if you bring me my phone, have you already plugged it in and gotten it ready? This song starts playing in my pocket, okay? And it's this happy song about, you know, you're going to have a great day, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and thank you, Isaac. And it starts playing. I'm like, where is this coming from? It's in my pocket. And I'm like, I have no idea where it's coming from. And here, I'll play some of it for you. Now, mind you, all the patients are there and the nurses and the staff.
Such a good feeling to know the day is mine. I've got a chance to be all that I can be. It's gonna be a good day for me. Just wait and see. I'm not gonna worry about troubles and cares. The love of Jesus I'm gonna share. I will rejoice in the things I cannot see. It's gonna be a good day for me, Jesus and me.
Praise the Lord. So it starts playing in my pocket. I'm like, where's that? And the whole cancer center, everybody starts smiling, and the ladies at the desk, they start laughing at me, and I'm listening to the words, and I'm saying, it's going to be a good day. I'm going to get a good report. I was just like, it was like, man, the Holy Spirit just hit me, and God said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be a good day. You're going to get a good report. And you know what? I got a good report.
Hallelujah.
I got a good report. I mean, I'm telling you, in the last 8 weeks, I've been to hell and back, and I didn't expect a good report, and my blood came back stronger this time than it did the last time. And there's just no praise. Yeah, hallelujah. And I took the song back to where they draw blood, and the cancer patients are getting their chemo, and I started playing it for them. I played it for the nurses, played it for the whole building. Everybody's just having a great time. Everybody's smiling. And it was all because Sandra sent it to me. But I didn't start it. God did. Josh, come get it, honey. God is good, amen? And the Holy Spirit fell on me, and Dawn was struggling. And I prayed down the fire. She was struggling that afternoon. And I just called down the fire of God on her, and she had got through a rough day. But anyway, praise God. He's there when we need him. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to share that testimony.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Rabbi. All right. And God, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, sing that song this morning.
And by the way, Maria, did you check on the lasagna that was over there? It's going to be done in about 12:15. So if you'll go check on it, it's in the oven. I would appreciate it so we can all have some lasagna. We're all going to have some lunch together. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, Rabbi, let's do some offering here.
Oh, okay. It is time for the Ari Yehuda offering and tithes of the week. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the tithes and offerings this week, Lord. And we just thank you that you provide for all the needs of this ministry, and that you provide exceeding abundantly above all that we could hope, think, or ask, Lord. And we thank you that you give us, I know in my case, sometimes just a mustard seed of faith. But you can do a whole lot with a mustard seed. In Yeshua's name.
Make some pretty good mustard too.
Amen. bless the givers and bless the gifts a hundredfold. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Lord, my soul, and all His goodness, bless His holy name. He pardons all your iniquities, healeth all your diseases. He redeems you from the grave and crowns you with loving kindness. Satisfies your desire for good. He renews your strength. Bless the Lord, my soul. The Lord performs His righteous deeds. His justice for all who are oppressed.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me.
Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul. Forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul. Hallelujah.
Lord, do you believe that today?
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand has lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
Shouts of
joy and victory resound
in the tents
of the righteous of the Lord.
Shouts of joy and victory resound
in the tents of the righteous of the Lord.
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us.
The Lord's right hand has lifted high.
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us.
The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
Joy in the Lord, you righteous one.
Sing for joy in the Lord, oh you righteous one.
Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous one.
Sing to him a new song. Let your heart rejoice in him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt.
Joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord.
Shouts of joy
and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord.
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us.
The Lord's right hand has lifted high.
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us.
The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
Give him glory.
So.
You know how Queen Esther got her name? Her name in Hebrew was Hadassah, which meant myrtle. Myrtle, like a myrtle tree. Amen. And she was a Jew, and her parents died in the exile from Israel to Babylon. Her parents were killed. So she went to live with her cousin Mordecai. And she was chosen when the king called for all the virgins, the beautiful virgins, to come to the palace and train. See, a lot of women, I see them on Facebook, they want a husband. They haven't been married or they haven't had a husband, maybe ever. Maybe they're 50 years old and they've never been married. Sometimes they've been divorced 2-3 times. And they're looking for, they'd like to have a companion. But they let themselves go. Amen. So Dawn says to me, she says, they need to work at it. Whatever you do, you practice football, you need to work at it. You want to play good football, you got to work at it. And you want to be good in math, you got to work at it. You want to be a good student, you got to work at it. You want to get a husband, you got to work at it. Amen. If you want to get a husband and you're 40, 50 years old, you put on a few pounds, I'm serious. Or I'm talking about, you want a wife. There's plenty of guys out there with beer bellies or pizza bellies, whatever you want to call it. And they're looking for a wife, and they let themselves go, and the women, they can't find a woman. Why can't, work at it. Let me tell you how Esther got her name. Esther is the pagan name of the pagan fertility goddess of Persia. In Babylonian, it's Ishtar. In Egyptian, it's Isis. And in Egyptian, it's Isis. And in Canaanite, it was Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth. Okay? The Canaanites call her Ashtaroth. And her symbol was the bunny rabbit and the egg. But the Persian king was like a god to his people. Okay? He was like a god. And so what did he need as a king? He needed a wife to provide what? Children. What kind of children? What kind of heirs? Male heirs. He needed sons, right? To be king. He needed male sons. So Esther was named. She was named after the Persian fertility goddess. So that she, for two reasons. One, because she was like a goddess as the queen. But two, that she would bear male heirs so that the kingdom would continue on. The king would have sons and his kingdom would continue on. His family would continue to rule the nation. Isn't that something? And that's how Esther got her name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Isn't that glorious?
Yes. Amen.
And she had a year of beauty treatments, by the way.
So God, awesome in your power and praise. Glorious, O God, glorious, O God, glorious in all of your ways.
You are
glorious, O God, glorious, O God,
awesome in your power.
To be with you, fill
my future is in Zion, eternity.
Faithful God, faithful. Thank you, God. You are so good to us. You are so faithful. How many of you, raise your hand if you've seen the faithfulness of God in your life. Hallelujah. Do you have a roof over your head? You have food on your table? Could you get out of bed today? Amen. You have a car? Some people don't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you today. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to the Lord's table. So if the folks at home are watching, would like to join us, and you have some matzah or crackers and or some bread and fruit of the vine, grape juice, Welch's, you know, Manischewitz, freight train. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. We're going to go to the Lord's table. You know, seriously, grab yourself some bread, some crackers, and some juice, and we're going to step down to the Lord's table, and you can join us. Praise God. You know, God has a sense of humor. I don't know if you know that. He made me. And Wendell. Can we go? Can I go head wireless? I was gonna say headless. Can I go headless? Headless. All right, I'm gonna go wireless today. We'll headless another week. The headless rabbi. The legend of Kingtown. All right. I mean, praise the Lord. Brenda, would you like to come and serve today? And Sharon, would you come and serve? Thank you. If you're up to it, you okay to do it? Okay.
Isn't Brenda dancing nice?
Yes, it's great to see Brenda back. Praise
Yay.
The Lord. It's been a long haul. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. It's nice to see Chandler Anna dancing too. She did a great job. Let's give it up for her. That blessed my heart. That blessed my heart. Where's the bread? Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. As you all know, it was on Passover that the Lord took the bread, the afikomen, the middle piece of three, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, his talmidim, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. He also took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the Brit Chadasha. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Poured out for the forgiveness of sin." We are so blessed. If you're here today, count yourself blessed. Just pat yourself on the shoulder and say, I'm blessed. If you're here today, you're blessed because you know Yeshua. And I'll tell you, for 30 years of my life, I didn't know him. 30 years, I didn't know who Yeshua was. But if you're here today and you know Yeshua, if you know Jesus, you're blessed just to be sitting here. Amen? I didn't know him for 30 years. Whew. Man, I was lost. I was like Gilligan, you know. I won't go there. But anyway, praise the Lord. So I'm going to want to invite all people, everybody here is saved, I believe. Welcome, Marilyn. But folks at home, if there's anybody that doesn't know Yeshua, and you'd like to invite him into your heart today to be your Savior, just pray this prayer with me, okay? If you don't know Yeshua and you'd like to know him and invite him into your life, to come into your life, this is all you have to do. It's not what you say, it's really what you mean. It's what's in your heart. Pray with me. Dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua, that's Jesus, to die because I've messed up. And you require perfection. Your standard is perfection. And all of us fall short of your standard. We all mess up. So Lord, we need Yeshua to cleanse us, to forgive us, to wash us. Come into my heart, Lord. Make me a new creature, a new creation. Write my name in your book of life.
Forgive my sins.
In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, then we believe that you are a new creation, that you're born again, and that I have a special gift for you. So if you contact us at our ministry, our website's broken, but you can call us at 276-646-1678, 276-644-1678. Just leave us a message. We'll call you back and get your information, or you can leave your information. I have a free gift for you, and just give me a call, and I'll send you a gift that I have from people who accept the Lord. So God bless you today, and you all come as you're ready, okay? Amen.
Can you see on the
We have one more little cup for Elijah. Somebody want to open the door? See if he's out there. Josh, open the door. See if Elijah's out there. Just call out.
Blow the shofar.
Not today? Nice. Good job, though. Let's give it up for Josh. You never know. He might show up one day.
It's true.
He might even be here. L'chaim. To life. We just thank you for our children. Lord, we just bless them, and we pray that you give them the desires of their heart and life. Lord, that they grow up to be what they want to be in their hearts. Lord, that you give them success in life and all that they put their hands to. Lord, whatever they choose, they're going to have to work hard, kids. Whatever you want to be good at, whatever you choose to do in life, whether it's be a plumber, whether it's be a football player, whether it's be a lawyer or a doctor, an accountant or a nurse or a teacher, you're going to have to work hard. Yes, and you're going to have, just like you, whatever you're good at now, you're going to have to work hard to be good at those things. We pray, Lord, that you prepare them not only for their lives and their future, that you prepare them their helpmate in life, Lord, that you'd prepare their helpmate, and that you'd prepare them for their helpmate in life, and help them to be chaste and stay pure that person, that special one. Help them to stay pure, and help that the others stay pure as well. And we just thank you for them. They are our heritage. They are our future, and they are. They are new life, and we bless them in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Wendell, did you drink that cup? Praise the Lord. Okay, let me get that cup out of the way. Because, hallelujah, hallelujah, we got hallelujah, hallelujah. You can put them right next to each other and kind of angle them if you want. Hallelujah, hallelujah, if that works, if you can kind of angle them, at, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If anybody wants one of the new newsletters, Jesus and the Jewish Wedding Ceremony Part 2, I have some. Maybe Josh could hand them out if anybody wants one. And if you just raise your hand as Josh comes by, and he'll hold your hand up and he'll bring one to you. He'll just keep it up as he comes by. And tell me something. So we got a nice lunch today. Are we on? Okay, well, we want to welcome the folks on Facebook Live. Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're here today, and folks watching on live stream, we're going to talk about the message today is I See a Blood Moon Rising. It's kind of a takeoff on the old Creedence Clearwater song, I See a Bad Moon Rising, but we've changed it to I See a Blood Moon Rising. And thank you, buddy. So anyway, last night, I don't know how many of you know this, and you can look it up, you can Google it, but last night, the blood moon, there was a lunar eclipse, a blood moon, there was a blood moon, was the longest blood moon of the century, was last night. The longest blood moon of the century, the longest lunar eclipse. And it was seen throughout all the whole world except for North America. It was seen through South America, Asia, the Middle East, Europe, China, Russia, you name it. It was all over the world. The only place it didn't see last night's, couldn't see it, it wasn't visible, was North America, Canada, and the United States. And isn't that interesting? But so, again, for folks who are just tuning in, welcome to Facebook, folks. The message is we're going to talk about the blood red moon today. I see a blood moon rising. And so we're glad you're with us today. Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to get right to the Word of God in a moment. Just turn on my little pad here so that if I need to look something up, I can look it up. Hallelujah. Got lots of shofars here. Shofar's so good. Okay, there we go. All right, so let's get into the Word. Let's study the blood red moon today, okay? Hope you got your swords with you. Hope you got your Bible or your tablet or whatever it is you use to watch the Word of God. Are we on there, Isaac?
It's on, but
the battery's low. Okay. All right. Anyway, folks watching, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. We are not living in the signs of the times. We are living in the times of the signs. We are not, I'll say that. We are not living in the signs of the times. We are living in the times of the signs. We are living in the times of the signs. Last night, on Friday, July, what was it last night, 27th, last night was the longest blood red moon, lunar eclipse of the 21st century. And not only that, next to it was Mars. So Mars was brighter, the planet Mars. You may have noticed that red star in the sky lately. It's brighter than it's ever been since 2004. It's the brightest it's ever been, closest it's been to Earth since 2004. And it came and connected. Now, so we are not living in the signs of the times. We are living in the times of the signs. A friend of mine, Pastor Larry, he said that one day, and it stuck with me. And we're living in the times of the signs. What do I mean? Well, when you see a blood red moon and you see Mars, turn to Genesis 1:14 for a second. I'm talking about signs. A lot of people, they say they poo-poo it. They don't believe in signs in the heavens. But I do. I don't think it's a coincidence. And Genesis 1:14 said, "Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Amen? Let's all say that. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So one of the things that God put the stars and the moons and the sun and the different signs in the heavens, you know, meteorites and the asteroids and all that, is to give us signs, amen, and the constellations. Okay, so being that last night was the longest blood red moon of the century, I have to explain what a blood red moon is. Okay, so a blood red moon is a lunar eclipse. It's a lunar eclipse, and it's when the moon passes directly. It's kind of like that song, "When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza." No, I'm sorry. No, that's not really what a lunar eclipse is. But a lunar eclipse really is when the moon passes directly behind the Earth's shadow, and the sun, it's behind the moon. The moon is behind the Earth, and the sun shines around the moon. The moon is smaller than the Earth, so the moon is behind the Earth, and the sun shines around the Earth. And what it does is these refractory light that comes around the Earth and it hits these particles in the atmosphere and around the Earth, hits these particles and it turns red. So it shines on the moon and it makes the moon look red to us. Okay? So you understand that? I can't really show you. I don't have a way of demonstrating, but all right, so here's the sun, and here's the Earth, and here's the moon. And the sun shines around the Earth, and the moon and the refractory light that comes around the sun, around the Earth, makes the moon turn red. And that's what they call a blood red moon. Okay? You can Google it. You can see what a blood red moon looks like. They were very red last night. They had pictures of them all over in England and Ireland and Germany and Switzerland and Israel and Jerusalem. They were all over the world. There's pictures of the blood red moon. Okay? All right. So let me just give you some of the, before we get into it, the significance of the blood red moon. And also, incidentally, last night's not only the longest blood red moon of the century, but in 2014 and 15, we had two tetrads. And that is, a tetrad is a consecutive series of blood red moons happening on specific times in a pattern. So they happened on Passover and Sukkot in 2014, and they happened on Passover and Sukkot in 2015. There were blood moons on those days, okay, and those were visible in America. Those blood moons were visible in America. They weren't visible in Israel, but last night's blood red moons were visible in all around the world except the United States. Now, let me tell you what a blood red moon, what it means, what it has to do with. First, we're going to talk about judgment of the nations. Interestingly, the blood red moon was connected with Mars, and Mars is, for those of you who don't know, is the Roman name of the god of war and the god of death. Mars was the god of the Roman mythology was the god of war and the god of death. So the month of March is named for Mars, okay? And the Romans have other gods like Jupiter, Jupiter is like probably even a greater god than Mars. But anyway, Mars is said to be the father of Romulus, and who is the one, the namesake of Rome, Romulus. Mars was said to be the father of Romulus, the founder of the city of Rome. So Mars is a very significant figure as a quote unquote god with a little g. Mars is a very significant figure in Roman history and Roman mythology. Okay, now was there a Mars that actually was the father of Romulus, who's who founded Rome? Maybe there was a guy named Mars. I don't know, but he wasn't a god. I know that much. But they did name a planet after him. Okay. So it's interesting because blood red moons, and I've been teaching this for years, they have to do with the judgment of the nations. They have to do with war. And not only was there a blood red moon last night, but Mars was the brightest it's been since 2004. And it's generally thought that when the blood red moons appear over certain countries, that the judgment or the war that's coming will include those nations. That's the general line of thought, okay? So number two, the blood red moon is a precursor, we're going to see as we read in the scriptures, to the restoration of Israel, Israel's recovery, Israel's prosperity, Israel's victory, Aliyah, the return of the Jews. The blood red moon is a sign of the return of the Jewish people. We're going to see that. And it's a sign of the salvation of the Jewish people. The blood red moon is a sign of the salvation of the Jewish people, and it is it's a precursor. The blood red moon is a precursor of the day of the Lord. Okay, it's a precursor of the day of the Lord. It's a precursor of the return of the Lord. The blood red moon is a precursor of the return of Yeshua, of Jesus. Okay, it's not what happened last night. I'll explain why the Lord didn't come last night, and I'll explain that. It's a precursor. There's a forerunner, okay? And as I said before, it's a precursor of Aliyah. So if the Jews have returned to the land, some people say, well, Aliyah means the return of the Jewish people to Israel. And some people say, well, a lot of Christians teach, well, that prophecy's already been fulfilled, Rabbi Joe. The Jews have already returned to Israel. It's already been made a nation, 1948. But there's still about 7 million, give or take, Jewish people from the United States and Canada. And God knows how many million Jews in South America. I don't even know, because so many of them came from the Spanish Inquisition, and they were forced to convert to Catholicism or die, and they lost their heritage. They lost their it's been hidden. So we don't even know how many Jews there are in South America and Latin America and Central America. But in North America, we know there's probably about 7 million Jewish people still here. They haven't gone home. Everybody say they haven't gone home. Okay. So, Aliyah is not finished. All right. So, I read Genesis 1:14, which says that then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Amen. Amen. Now, it's interesting. There's lots of blood red moons throughout history, and you can look them up. You can Google lunar eclipses, NASA, go to NASA website, you can get the dates of the lunar eclipses and the where they occur and all that. But there were tetrads. There have been four tetrads, and a tetrad is, like I said, is a series of consecutive lunar eclipses over a period of time. And there was that happened in 1492, that happened in 1948, and it happened in 1967. And it also happened in 2000, 2014 and 15. Okay? So we had a double tetrad in 2014 and 15. You know, we had these series of blood red moons, you know, on holidays. They fell on Jewish holidays. Isn't that interesting? Okay, last night, incidentally, was a full moon. A lunar eclipse can only occur on a full moon, okay? Can only occur on a full moon. And Daniel chapter 8 tells us that the end, the time of the end, will be on a Jewish feast, will be on a biblical feast. All right? Okay, so there can be no blood red moon if the sun is darkened. Now, we have to really read some scriptures, because if the sun, the Bible says, when the Lord, we'll read some scriptures. Let's read, let's go to Joel chapter 2. Verse 28, Joel chapter 2, it says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even on the male and female servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So, for behold, in those days," this is chapter 3 now, "and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. They have also cast lots for my people." Okay, so I'm going to stop there. So a couple things. The sun wasn't darkened. And every blood red moon that we've had in this century and in your lifetime and in all of history that we know of, the sun wasn't darkened, but it was the sun's light that went around the earth when the moon was hiding behind. Everybody say the moon was hiding behind the earth. When the moon was hiding behind the earth and the sun's light went around the earth and it hit the particles of dust in the atmosphere of the earth, and it caused that redness to come onto the moon. Okay, that's a blood red moon. So lunar eclipse, when the moon is perfectly behind the earth. Okay? It's hiding behind the earth. All right. So you need sunlight. Everybody say you need sunlight to have a blood red moon. But the Bible says the sun will be darkened. The Bible says the sun will be darkened. So it's going to be a supernatural occurrence. Everybody say a supernatural occurrence. When the blood red moon that Joel is talking about, and we're going to look in some other verses too. Let's hold your place in Joel. Go to Revelation 6:12, and we'll look at that. And Carol, you got that 37 minutes? All right, I'll let you know. Okay, so Revelation 6:12, "I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became blood. The stars in the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath is come, and who is able to stand?" So you see here, again, the sun will be darkened when that supernatural, miraculous, end time, blood red moon comes. to announce the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, okay? When it comes to announce the second coming of the Lord, the sun will be darkened. And that's going to be miraculous, because you can't have a blood moon if the light that causes the moon to turn red comes from the sun, and the sun is darkened. You can't. I can only think of one source of light. Can anybody figure out what source of light might go around the earth? The glory of the Lord and His coming. Amen. The glory of the Lord, the light of His glory. Well, coming around the earth could turn the moon blood red, and His light will be probably much brighter than the sun. Amen? And the whole world will see, as Ted Pierce sings, and all the world will see Yeshua. Amen? Amen. By the way, somebody brought me a new kind of ale. Ishmael. They brought me a new kind of ale last night, Ishmael. Personally, I prefer ginger ale. But anyway, all right, so let's move on here. Let's go back to Joel 2. So let's discuss this here. And Joel 2, let's see what's going on here. Joel 2:28. It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions, even on male and female servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So one thing we know is that prior to the coming of the day of the Lord, the sun's going to be darkened and the moon will turn red. Amen? So yesterday, last night's eclipse was a precursor. The ones in 2015 and 14 were precursors. Everybody say precursors. All the ones. But here's the thing. What are those tetrads that we had back in 2014 and 15? What are they telling us? They were happening on feasts, on Passover and Sukkot, 2 years in a row. I think God's got a message in there for us, and we have to figure out what that message is. I think the message is that He has something to do with Israel. What does the Exodus tell us? Well, it tells us that God's going to take His people home. It's telling the world to come out of her, come out of Egypt, come out of Babylon. Amen. Come out of pagan worship. Amen. And go to the promised land and follow the living God. Amen. Worship the true God, the God of Israel. Amen. 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 So those are some of the things that it tells us. Let's read on here. The day of the Lord. So the sun will be in verse 32, and it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord, so when the cow patties hit the fan, whoever calls on the name of Yeshua, whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. A lot of people don't like Jesus. They don't Yeshua is His Hebrew name. They don't like, why? You think about it. Folks, if you're watching and you don't believe in Jesus and you don't like Jesus, and you don't even know who Yeshua is. Yeshua is His Hebrew name. That's the name His mom called Him. But before I met Yeshua, I met Jesus. And think about it. If you don't like Jesus, and you say, well, I don't need Jesus. Jesus is for weak people, people who need a crutch. They need Jesus. But I don't need Jesus. I do fine. I can handle myself. Or I don't believe in heaven and hell. I had one guy tell me, I'm going to be worm food. He said, he was proud to be worm food. Well, we're all going to be worm food, but I'd like my spirit to go to heaven. Amen. I know my body's going to be worm food one day. We're all going to be worm food. But do you want to just be worm food? But there's another side to that story too. It's called hell. Hell's very hot and the lake of fire burns. And when you go to hell, you burn forever, and you never stop burning, but you don't die. So you burn and burn and burn and burn and burn, and you suffer and suffer and suffer, but your suffering never ends. That's hell. Hell's not a party, like some of the rock songs sing. You know, some of the rock and roll songs talk about partying in hell. You know, hell's not going to be a party. It's going to be a place of burning and fire and torture. And you'll wish you could be waterboarded, because there won't be any water and you'll be thirsty. So think about why you don't like Jesus if you're not a follower of Jesus. Think about it. Just ask yourself, why don't I like Jesus? Why is it? What is it I have against him? Ask yourself and then read the Bible. Okay, let's go on. So, verse 32, and it will come about, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape. Why doesn't he say in Canada, in Toronto, and in Detroit there will be those who escape? Why doesn't he say in Encino and in Culver City and Hollywood and Bel Air there will be those who escape? Why doesn't he say in Salzburg and Vienna there will be those who escape? But he says on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there will be those who escape. So, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls, for behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. So God's saying, in connection to the blood red moons, in those days, when the blood red moon comes, that's the days when he restores the fortunes of Jerusalem and Judah, and he will gather all the nations, because all the nations will have already attacked Israel. The Bible tells us in Zechariah 12, all the nations will gather against Israel and will attack Jerusalem. And he says, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is in Jerusalem, right outside the Temple Mount, the valley that's below the Mount of Olives. I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. So God's going to enter into judgment because of the way the nations treated the Jewish people. Do you hear that? At this time of the blood red moon, when the moon turns blood, God's going to enter into judgment with all the nations who attacked Israel, everyone who came against, who hated the Jews, everyone who persecuted the Jews will be brought to judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And he says in Joel 3:2, and he will enter into judgment on behalf of my people Israel, my inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. What are the nations trying to do to Israel? They're calling it a two-state solution. They're trying to divide God's holy land. So God's saying, I'm going to judge every nation, including the United States, who up until the current president, I'm not sure where he stands, every president since Richard Nixon has tried to make two states out of the land of Israel. And God says he's going to judge those nations who divide his land. I don't know about you, but if you're a Christian and you believe in God and the Word of God, I don't want to be one of the people that divides his land or supports it. I wouldn't want to be one of the people. You know, I don't think God minds. You know, Ishmael is the brother of Jacob, right? No, of Isaac. He's the brother of Isaac. Ishmael was the brother of Isaac. Amen? So he's our brother. He represents the Arabs. Ishmael represents the Arabs, right? Okay. So they're our brothers. So are they entitled to live in the land? Well, if long as they don't mind, as they behave, sure. But the land belongs to Isaac. I wish I had a bottle of Isaac ale instead of as well as Ishmael. I could, but I'll take a ginger ale. So my point is, God doesn't. We don't hate the Arabs. We don't hate the Muslims. We don't hate them. They live there now. There's millions of Muslims and Arabs that live in Israel. Some are citizens, some are not citizens of Israel, but they live in Israel. There's over a million, maybe a couple million, that live in Israel. And that's okay, as long as they don't lob rockets at Jews and blow themselves up on buses and restaurants and take a gun and shoot. They just killed an Israeli soldier last week, a sniper down at Gaza killed an Israeli soldier. And, you know, as long as they don't kill Jews and they act like citizens of Israel and they, you know, and they worship the God of Israel, they're welcome. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's go on here. So do you see a parallel here in this judgment of Joel 3? Can anyone think of another scripture that relates to it? Of judgment? Maybe turn to Matthew 25. I bet you didn't know this. Verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory... Well, let's go a little bit back. Let's go back a little bit. The disciples in Matthew 24 had asked the Lord. They had asked the Lord. Go back to chapter 24. And they said, Lord... It said, Jesus, verse 1, came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And you go to verse 29, we're talking about the blood moon. He says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Okay, so after the tribulation of those days, that's when the blood red moon comes, and then the trumpet sounds, and the Lord gathers his people. Okay, it's after the tribulation. All right, it's at the end of the tribulation. Now, some people say, well, I'm not going to be here, Rabbi. I'm going to be raptured. We'll talk about that next week. We'll go into that and study it. But we're going to talk about the second coming and the coming of the bridegroom next week. But we're not going to go into it in depth today. But just to say this, a lot of Christians tell me, they say, we're not going to be here. This isn't talking about me. I love it when people, even Messianics, Christians, believers, whoever, when people say, it says this, but it's not talking about me. The word says this. You know, I love to see, I want to be there watching when those people stand before God. And he says, my word said this, but you didn't believe me. You call yourself a believer, and my word says this, but you didn't believe it. Amen? You had your own doctrine of men. You believed some preacher. You didn't believe my word. You took the word of a man, of a preacher who taught you, over my word. Amen? And I'm not just talking about the rapture. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of words in the scripture that people, you know, they have their own interpretation, very different from God's word. Okay, so let's go to chapter 25. I asked you a question about, remember we looked in Joel and we talked about the judgment. So let's look here in Matthew 25, 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now let's stop for 1 second. What judge is this the same judgment of Joel 3 where he's judging the nations based on how they treated the Jews? Is this the same judgment as he's judged where in Joel 3:2, where we just read, you can go back to Joel 3:2, where he says he's judging the nations based on how they treated the Jewish people? Theologians have been teaching for centuries that it is. Did you know that? Theologians have been teaching for centuries that this is the same judgment. It doesn't say it here. It says it in Joel 3:2, that he's going to judge the nations for attacking, dividing his land, and scattering his people. God says he's going to, in Joel 3:2, I'm going to judge the nations because they scattered the Jewish people and they divided the land of Israel. Here we see in the judgment, that same judgment in Matthew 25, he says he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my father. In other words, you who blessed the Jewish people and didn't divide my land and didn't scatter my people, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. If you don't believe me, look that up. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. I used to visit a Jewish prisoner at Red Onion State Prison up in Pound, Virginia. There was a Jewish fellow up there. I got a phone call years ago from someone in Florida that said there's a guy up there in Pound, Virginia. He's a Jewish fellow. He needs somebody to visit him. And his name was Andrew. I can't remember his last name. He got hepatitis. He had liver. He died of hepatitis. But I used to go and visit him in Pound. And then eventually, after 2 or 3 years, he went to the state hospital in Richmond, and he died. And I visited him on his deathbed before he died. And it was very, you know. So I went to visit this Jewish man, and another lawyer came down from New York. I'm not a lawyer, but a lawyer from New York used to come down and visit Andrew too. And he became my friend. I've lost touch with him. But that lawyer used to visit Son of Sam. David, what was his name, David? Horowitz? Berkowitz. David Berkowitz, the Son of Sam killer in New York, the serial killer, became a believer in prison. And so this lawyer friend of mine would go and visit David Berkowitz in prison. So God's saying, you know, there's, believe it or not all Jews are rich. Some of them are in prison. So this judgment of Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, the extent that you did it to one of these, my brothers, my Jewish brothers, even to the least of them, you did it to me. So the word is, blessed Jew. I'm not saying you have to bless me, but I'm saying God's saying, blessed Jew. You get an opportunity to bless a Jewish person, to give him a cup of cold water, to visit him in prison, to give him clothing, to feed him, to invite him into your house, to visit him when he's sick. You're going to be in good standing in that judgment. Amen? If you don't believe what I'm saying, compare this to Joel 3:2. Okay? This is all about how the nations treated the Jews. This is God's judgment of the nations for how they treated his Jewish brothers. And then he goes on, he says, to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Bro, I can't say it enough. Stand with the Jewish people. Stand with the nation of Israel. And don't just let it be words. Do acts of kindness. He's saying it right here. Feed them. Clothe the Jewish people. Feed them. Help them. Visit them when they're sick. Do something for the Jewish people when they're in need. If you know a Jewish person who's sick, visit them. Do something. Offer them a cup of cold water if they're hot. Feed them. Visit them in prison. Okay? If you have an opportunity, and we all do at some point in our life, to bless a Jewish person, do it. Amen? Amen. Don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Just pray and ask God if what I'm saying is true. Okay? Because you don't want to be one of those people on the left side. You don't want to be one of the ones, you know, who says, you know. Anyway, I think you get the point. Okay. So Isaiah 13:10. You want to see the restoration of Israel again? It's still prophesied in concerning the blood red moons. Turn to Isaiah 13. This is gonna blow you away. Isaiah 13. And we don't have a whole lot more. Okay. Isaiah 13. The oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. Lift up the standard on the bare hill. Raise your voice to them. Wave the hand that they may enter the doors of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones. I have called my mighty warriors, my proudly exulting ones, to execute my anger. A sound of tumult on the mountains like that of many people. A sound of uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts is mustering the army for battle. They are coming from a far country, from the farthest horizons. The Lord and his instruments of indignation to destroy the whole earth, the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. So again, the blood red moon is predicting the coming of the day of the Lord. These are the things that it's saying. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. There all hands will fall limp. And every man's heart will melt and they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment. Their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation. And he will exterminate the sinners from it, and the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. When the Lord comes, the moon will be dark too, but when the Lord comes, his light will turn it red. So you're seeing the sun darkened here. This is the real blood red moon, and it's talking about the judgment of Babylon. And the judgment of the nations. But let's go on a little bit further. And he says, thus I will punish the world for its evil. So the blood red moon has to do with the punishment of the world. Wherever the blood red moon appears, God is going to judge that nation. It appeared in the United States four times in 2014 and 15. And very, you know, unusual formation and tetrads on the same holidays 2 years in a row, Passover and Sukkot. God's going to judge the United States. He's going to judge all the nations of the earth. Okay? And the whole world could see the blood red moon. So I will punish the world, verse 11, for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will be shaken from its place as the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. And he goes on to talk about his judgment. Then he says in verse 17, behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes. Those are the Persians. you know, and the Medo-Persians. I'm going to stir up the Medes against them, against Babylon, against the Babylonians, who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold. It's like ISIS. I'm going to stir up ISIS in the north, and they're not going to take pleasure in silver or gold, and their bows will mow down the young men, and they will not have compassion on the fruit of the womb. Does that sound like ISIS? Nor will their eye pity children. In Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation, nor will Arab pitch his tent there, nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there in Babylon. Thank you. Are you with me? God is going to destroy Iraq. He's going to destroy Iraq. Iraq's been through military HELLL. Amen? In the last 20 years, the Iraq War started when? 2003? Around then, 2004? It's been going on, and it really hasn't stopped the violence in Iraq. I mean, it's just the country, it's a state that's failed. It's a failed state. Iraq is a failed state, and it will not be inhabited by Arab. No Arab will pitch their tent there. But desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers, and jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her fateful time also will come soon, and her days will not be prolonged. Then listen to this. It talked about the restoration of Israel. Look at chapter 14. When the Lord will again have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them and attach themselves. That's you guys. All the people who join with the Messianic Jews. That's what he's saying. Strangers, foreigners, Gentiles will attach themselves to the house of Jacob. He's not saying unbelievers. He's saying believers. And he says, the peoples will take them along and bring them to their place. So the Christians and the Messianic Gentiles will take the Jews back. As I've said, it's going to take airlines, Christians, and even the U.S., I believe Donald Trump, I believe in Revelation 12, 14, the two wings of the great eagle, the U.S. military, the United States Air Force, the U.S. Navy, the Marines. Donald Trump will help when the Jews, before the end of his second term, the Jews will leave the United States because of a rise in anti-Semitism, because Ishmael is rising in this country against Isaac. Ishmael, the cola of choice for millions in this country, is going to rise against Isaac, the child of promise. And just like the Jews are leaving France and the thousands and tens of thousands, Jews are going to leave the United States in Exodus. And Revelation 12, 14 says, the two wings of the great eagle will be given to the woman to fly her people into the wilderness for time, times, and half a time. The only way out is not up. It's when the two wings of the great eagle, the United States, including maybe airline jets, but also the military to protect them, and C-130s to transport them, and ships, and cruise ships to help the 7 million Jews and Christians who see the handwriting on the wall and want to go too, and Messianic Gentiles, Messianic, sojourners, amen? Who, like yourselves, who've joined with us, God bless you. You've joined with the Jewish people. But you see people fall away? Why do they fall away? They get offended. You know, their toes get stepped on. Over sometimes the silliest things, people, they let their toes, and they run away. They lose their blessing. You know, They lose their blessing. It's not about, say, it's not about me. It's not about me. It doesn't matter. You don't have to like me. Somebody said, I had somebody who left recently said to me, I don't like you. It doesn't matter if you like me. I'm your connection to Israel. You don't have to like me. I pray for you. I pray for everybody in this congregation. But a lot of people don't like me sometimes. Sometimes there's multiple people that don't like me. Are we adults? Are we adults?
Yes.
I had a woman say to me, who's in this congregation, comes a lot, and she almost every week, and she said to me, she said, Rabbi, I pray, because all these people who get offended and say that I step on their toes, or, you know, they get offended with me, I just picture a foot without toes, because people get their toes stepped on so much that I imagine a foot without toes. You know, we're not supposed to let our toes be stepped on, guys. We're not supposed to get offended. The world gets offended, right? We're believers. We're supposed to turn the other cheek, right? Are we supposed to turn the other cheek? Everybody say, turn the other cheek. Are we supposed to go the extra mile? Are we supposed to love our enemies? Are we supposed to honor our leaders? Are we supposed to listen to our leaders? As long as they don't tell us to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge? As long as what they tell us lines up with Scripture, are we supposed to do it? Amen? What do I tell you? Show hospitality. What do I tell you? Serve in the congregation. Help out. Come to prayer. Come to Oneg. I don't even care if you bring food. Just come and fellowship. Because God says fellowship. So I say, come fellowship. We have lasagna today. What else do we have? Salad.
Chicken.
We have chicken. What else do we have?
Drinks.
Desserts. We have each other. And Wendell will bite your ear. So, you know, Wendell might eat my, you know, he might, you know, Wendell comes from a cannibal clan out there in North Carolina. You didn't know that. You thought they were just in New Guinea, but there actually are some cannibals still left in North Carolina. What did one cannibal say to the other when they were having dinner in the woods? One cannibal said, I hate my mother-in-law. So the other one said, well, just eat your potatoes. Okay. Praise the Lord. People don't like me because of my jokes. So I step on their toes with my jokes. Anyway, it's not about me. It's not about, say it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. Amen. We got to stay linked arms, guys. People, this is the time of the great falling away. People get offended. So many people get offended. Through the years, and especially in the last 6 years, 7 years, I've seen so many people get offended and run off and lose their blessing. And lose their blessing. There is no other connection to Israel in this community. There is none. There's no other. We are your local connection to Israel in this community. There is no other to Messianic Israel, to the biblical Israel. There is no other. There's people playing Jewish. You can go play Jewish if you want to do that. It's funny how some of those leaders come to me and they want my blessing. They ask for my blessing. They want me to bless them. They want me to sanction them. Stop doing what you're doing and I'll bless you. Come back under the covering and I'll bless you. Okay, let's go on here. So, we see the judgment. We've gone through this chapter in Isaiah 13. We see the blood red moon. We see the judgment of Babylon. We see the judgment of the nations here. God, we see the wrath of God on the nations. And then all of a sudden, what do we see in chapter 14? When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. Say, that's me. That's me. And the peoples will take the Jews along, the Messianic Jews, and bring them to their place in the house of Israel. Even though they'll even take Jews who don't believe, will go back to Israel. Why do the Jews have to return by the time of the blood red moon? Why do the Jews have to be back in the land before the coming of the Lord? You know why? Because Leviticus 25, in the law of Jubilee, God said he would restore the land to the tribes, to the Jewish people. And in the year of Jubilee, you know, when the Lord comes, that's a year of Jubilee. Amen? And so the Jews have to be in the land. Ooh, I got a chill on that one. Anybody else get a chill? The Jews have to be in the land before the Lord comes back for his people. Praise God. And about choosing the Jewish people, again, we're in the times of the Gentiles, but before the times of the Gentiles, it was the times of the Jews. But Jesus said in Luke 21, he said, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. You don't hear those sermon on the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled in the church, do you? Churches don't teach that. They don't teach about the end of the time of the Gentiles. They teach about the glorious bride and the rapture and the coming of the Lord to take his glorious church and take her out, the beautiful church, and take her home. Amen? We're going to talk about the bridegroom next week. Watch next week on, hopefully, pray for us because we've lost our websites down. And so we're doing Facebook Live right now. But pray for us to get our website back up. We're going to come back stronger than ever. And I'm going to teach next week on the bride, on the second coming and the coming of the bridegroom. And teach on the Jewish wedding and how it relates to the coming of the bridegroom. Amen? But so the blood red moon has to do, and just let me review, and then we're going to conclude. So we've got judgment of the nations. We've got the day of the Lord. We've got it's the blood red moon, the real one, the real blood red moon comes after the tribulation of those days. Okay, for all you pre-trib rapture people, I love you. And I always tell pre-trib people, I had a guy, I was getting some treatment from a guy the other day for my leg. I pulled a muscle in my leg. So I'm getting physical therapy, I'm getting some treatment, and I'm telling this guy about how Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how I've longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you will not see me again, Jerusalem, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I told this guy, I said, Jesus, Yeshua can't come back until Jerusalem calls, until the rabbis, because in the Jewish wedding, the rabbi says, at the beginning of every religious Jewish wedding, the rabbi says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and the bridegroom comes down the aisle and stands there next to the rabbi, and he waits for his bride. And that's the way every Jewish wedding goes. So when Jesus said that, he was speaking code to the rabbis. He was saying, not only you're not going to see me until you call me the bridegroom, invite me back, but not only that, he said, he was telling them, I'm God. Not me, he. He's saying he's God because God said in Exodus 19 that he's betrothed himself as a bridegroom to Israel. Now the question is, did God betroth himself? And Paul says he betrothed himself to the church. Well, wait a second. Does he have two brides? We're going to talk about that next week. Does God have two brides? Does he have a church and the Messianic community? Or is it about the Gentiles joining with the bride? We're going to talk about this next week. I'm not going to get into it any further here, okay? But so just to review quickly before we conclude the things that we just talked about. So the blood red moon is a precursor of the restoration of Israel. And so it's a good thing for Israel. Although it's going to be a tough time, it's going to be birth pangs. The restoration of Israel. The return of the Jews from the nations. We're going to see the Jews return before. Now, why are we seeing so many blood red moons? Because God's saying, just like Joseph said when Pharaoh had dreams consecutively, it's coming quickly. It's coming quickly. So we're seeing all these blood red moons and all these signs in the skies. And not only that, Mars, the Roman god of war, along with the blood red moon, God's saying war is coming. Do you know why Donald Trump met with Putin? You go to ZeroHedge.net. Go to ZeroHedge.net and look up the article about the United States is planning to attack Iran. ZeroHedge.net. And you can look up the article that I got this week about Donald Trump talking privately with Putin about getting ready to attack Iran's nuclear capabilities and blow Iran's military off the face of the planet. That's why he met with Putin in private, to get their blessing and permission to let them know he's going to blow Iran's nuclear. And have I been saying this? Yeah. Read ZeroHedge.net's article. Check it out. Or just text me and I'll send it to you. And those who know my number, I'll send it to you. I've posted it on my Facebook page. You can go there as well. And it talks about Trump meeting with Putin and asking him his blessing not to get involved as the United States attacks Iran. We're preparing now. The question is, when will we attack Iran? I've been saying we're going to do it. Daniel 8 confirms it. Is it going to happen soon or is it going to happen in a few years? I'm betting it's going to be delayed. I'm betting it's not going to happen right away. I've said that the Aliyah, the return of the Jews, has to happen first. So I think it's going to happen. It's going to be delayed for some reason. But it's coming. And then the fact is, it's not just Joe Bell, Rabbi Joe. It's not just Rabbi Joe talking about it anymore, guys. It's in the news. The stuff I've been saying since 2016 about Donald Trump attacking Iran and destroying their nuclear capability, you're not just hearing it here in Bristol, Virginia from a little rabbi of a little country messianic congregation. Now it's in the news going out to the whole world. And I'm not the one sharing it with them. Unless they read my newsletter. All right, so we got the precursor of restoration of Israel, the blood red moon, the recovery, the prosperity of Israel, Israel's victory, the judgment of the nations for the way they treated Israel. The return of the Lord is a sign of the blood red moon. The blood red moon is a sign of the day of the Lord. It's also a sign of the coming, the revelation of the anti-Messiah, of the Antichrist. When you see the blood red moon, the Antichrist, will, by that point, he will have been revealed. We'll know who he is, the man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians 2. It's a precursor of the return of the Jews back from the West, from America and Canada and South America, back to Israel and all the Jews from any other country where they still have to return, and many Christians who will go back to Israel because God's judging the nations. God is going to destroy the nations. Jeremiah 30 verse 10, read it, Jeremiah 30 verse 10, God says, I will destroy completely all the nations where I scattered the Jewish people, God says, but I will not destroy you, Israel. I will not leave you unpunished, he says, but I will not completely destroy you. Where's God going to bring us? The ones who get it and who see the handwriting on the wall and who understand the teaching and who believe, he's going to take us to Israel. He's going to hide us in Israel. But when he judges the nations, when he judges the nations and he destroys the nations, do you want to be there? I don't care. You know, Belize, the little island of Belize, is inviting people. Come, move to Belize. The dollar is our currency. It's a beautiful tropical country, island. Amen? Would you rather go to a tropical Belize or would you rather go to Israel, which also has some beautiful tropical spots? Go to a lot. Red Sea, you can go scuba diving, best scuba diving in the world in the Red Sea. You know, you can get plenty of tropical stuff in Israel, the Mediterranean. You swim in the beautiful blue Mediterranean. It's lovely. I'd rather be in Israel. Okay, let's finish up here. All right. Carol, let's conclude. Let's play my conclusion. And lastly, the last thing, not only is the, before she plays that, she gets ready, not only is the blood red moon a precursor of the coming of the anti-Messiah, Malachi 4:5, let's just look there for one sec. This is my last scripture. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Remember, the blood red moon is a precursor to the coming of the blood of the. I've said all this. You got to re-listen to this message. You got to listen to it again later when it gets posted on Facebook, because I said a lot of stuff here, and you've got to get it in. You have to re-listen to it. So, or you can call us. Can they get CDs, Carol? Have we made a CD today? Are we making a CD? We're not today. We're not making a CD. So you can only get it on Facebook. So remember, it says, the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes, verse 5 of Malachi, chapter 4, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Elijah's coming back to restore all things. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 17, Elijah's coming to restore all things? But I tell you truly, John the Baptist was Elijah, but they didn't listen to him. So did John the Baptist succeed if they didn't listen to him? Did he restore all things? No. But if you read that Matthew 17 passage, he says Elijah is coming again. And this time, when he comes, that's why he has a big cup. Because he's going to restore all things. Amen? He's going to prepare the way. You see, John the Baptist had to die. Be like Yeshua died, because he was a precursor, a forerunner of the Lamb of God. But the coming Elijah is a precursor of the Lion of Judah. The Elijah who is to come is a precursor of the Lion of Judah. Different. He's going to restore all things. He's going to restore all things, little Lion of Judah. Oh, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to me among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come forth one for me who will be king over Israel. His days are from everlasting. Carol, why don't you play that conclusion? By the way, before she does, the church won't be ready when Elijah comes, because they won't be expecting. First, the church doesn't believe Elijah's coming. They think it was John the Baptist. Some in the church do believe he's coming. Most don't. And if he does come back, he'll be a Messianic Jew. So Christians won't accept him because he's a Messianic Jew. Jews won't accept him because he's a Messianic Jew. And Messianic Jews won't accept him because they won't believe he's Elijah. So he's got a hard job. That's why he has a big cup. Amen? But he's got a lot of supporters. Let's play that. All right. A little athletic humor there.
The day of the Lord. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but you can read it on your own. The blood red moon is in there, and judgment of the nations. So what's the difference between my teaching on the blood red moons and the stuff that's out there? The stuff that's out there talks about the judgment of Israel. Israel's trouble. Israel's time of tribulation. Israel's 7 years of trouble. I'm talking about God's judgment of the nations. Not Israel. I'm talking about Israel being strengthened, Israel being lifted up, Israel being filled with people, Israel being restored, Israel being the riches of Jacob and Abraham, the treasures coming back to the land of Israel. That's the difference between my message. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And what's being taught out there, and that's why I felt it was important to teach this today. Okay, let's look at Matthew 24. This is one of the real watershed verses. Matthew 24:29.
Let's stop it there. That's the conclusion. The bottom line is the difference between my teaching on the blood red moons and Christian teaching is that I teach that it has to do with the judgment of the nations, and the Christian teaching, Pastor Mark Biltz and others teach that it has to do with the judgment of Israel. And it's very different. If you teach from my perspective, which I've shown you biblically, it has to do with the judgment of the nations down in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, Joel 3:2, Matthew 25, Isaiah 13, and many other scriptures I've shown you today. If you go back and watch this, you'll see it has to do with the judgment of the nations and the blessing of the Jews and the restoration of Jacob. Amen? And that God having mercy and compassion on the Jews. Whereas many Christians, and I'm not knocking Christians, I love Christians, especially Christians who love Israel. I love Christians who are friends of Israel. I love all people. I mean, I love people. You know, I preach the gospel to millions of people myself in the streets of Liverpool, England, Sydney, Australia, Honolulu, Hawaii, San Francisco, California, Los Angeles, New York City, the Bronx, Harlem. I've been all over the world preaching the gospel. Johannesburg, South Africa. I've preached to blacks and whites. The first person I led to the Lord was a black woman in Chicago named Osi. I'll never forget it. I led her to the Lord in the summer of 1996 on the street. I'll never forget leading a woman, Osi, to the Lord. And she's the first person I ever led to Yeshua, to Jesus Christ. And I've led probably in the thousands since then. I love all people. I preach the gospel to Muslims. I've talked with Muslims and shared with them. I'm not against, you know, I don't have I'm not a racist. Amen? Anybody's welcome who's a sincere seeker. But Christian teaching about this subject has to do with the judgment of Israel. I teach, and the reason I taught at the international conference 2 years in a row on this is because I'm teaching it from a Jewish perspective. I'm teaching it from what the Bible says. From what the Bible says. And you can go back and listen to my teaching and read the Bible, and it will line up. Amen? Please stand up. I want to bless you. Next week, we're going to talk about the second coming and the coming of the bridegroom. Okay? So it's going to be a really neat message next week. So come, bring your friends. Bring your friends. You folks at home, you can come. You don't have to. You can travel to Tennessee. Take a vacation. It's still summertime. Come on down. Get in your fifth wheel. Come on down to Bristol, Tennessee, and we'll show you some good Southern hospitality. All right. Just come. Just load up the camper and come on down and see Uncle Jed. All right. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panaveilecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, love one another. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. And we're going to turn the Facebook. Shalom, Facebook folks. We love you. And pray for our website to come back up, please. Pray for our ministry.